This is Fresh Air. I don't know about you, but before I travel, I always worry I'm coming down with something. Maybe I shouldn't have read Paul Theroux's article in the July edition of the Condé Nast Traveler. It's called Parasites I Have Known, and it's about the many afflictions he's picked up from parasites and insects in his 30 years of travel through the tropics. But since I did read it, I thought I should share it with you. After all, who knows where you're heading on your summer vacation? Paul Theroux is one of our most popular travel writers. He's spending his summer writing at his home on Cape Cod. He told me he always leaves his illnesses out of his travel books.
I leave these diseases out of travel books because I don't find them particularly interesting to write about if I'm writing about a landscape or a place. To talk about your illnesses is really drawing excessive attention to yourself. The great place for writing about diseases is in fiction, in short stories. And in each of the diseases that I mentioned in my article, I have actually used for a story. For example, the one called Putsy Fly Fever, where the flies lay eggs on your shirt, and then they hatch, and the worms burrow into your skin, and then you have these worms in your skin. I wrote about in a story called White Lies, which is in a collection called World's End. Dengue fever, I wrote a story called Dengue Fever. Leprosy, which I haven't had, but I worked in a leper colony, I wrote about in a poem and then in another story. So eventually they find their way into print.
Why are diseases good for fiction?
I think because they're very, very dramatic. And when you think about the diseases that occur in fiction, like the plague, the Albert Camus novel, or the death of Ivan Illich, the Tolstoy short story, or a burnt-out case, or I was recently reading a book called Christ Stopped at Eboli, and there's a lot of illness in that. It's just marvelous. I think because it has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's about mortality. But a travel book, when people write about their diarrhea in travel books or the illnesses, I find it in the same class as writing about standing in line. You know, sometimes people complain about standing in line at the embassy waiting for a visa, standing in line waiting for a ticket, or the rudeness of people in lines, or time passing. I don't think there's anything in it. I think people don't want to hear about it. And so I made a practice never to write about it. So I've never written about illnesses in my travel books. I think six, some fairly substantial books. But when I came to write an article about it, I saw a whole feast of, that's the word.
No, I think you were the feast.
That's true. But they are, I think also, to be serious, that when I went to Africa in 1963, when I joined the Peace Corps, I remember a professor, he was a science professor, I think a biologist, was lecturing us on tropical illnesses, and he said, he was describing, I think it was African eye worm, where it's really terrible because you can actually see the worm in your eye as it's sort of creeping across your eye. And that's how you know you have it. And he was describing snake bite and so forth. And he said, well, you're going to be off next month to Nyasaland, as it was called, Central Africa. And we said, yeah, don't you wish you could come? And he said, I wouldn't go there for any amount of money. And we said, why? And he said, it's full of insects, snakes, and he said, I just wouldn't do it. And he said, I'm staying in Syracuse, New York, thanks very much. And I thought, there are people who stay home because of illnesses, but I wouldn't dream of staying home because of an illness, since you can overcome or prevent most illnesses.
Did you ever have African eye worm?
No, I had my students had it. That's pretty terrible. You get it from swimming in certain stagnant pools, and the thing... One rule of thumb, this is how you stay healthy, certain rules of thumb. Never swim. Never swim in Africa is a good rule. Don't swim in fresh water anyway. Swim in the ocean. Another one is don't drink water. Don't drink unboiled water. It's quite an easy one. In India, don't eat meat. It's usually a good idea to keep to the habits of the local people. If everyone's a Hindu vegetarian, you'll be a Hindu vegetarian and you'll be better off. No one would be worse at cooking meat than a vegetarian.
Let me just ask you, this African eye worm, is it a hallucination that you're seeing the worm crawl across your eye, or are you seeing really a worm crawl across your eye?
Oh, no. There is a worm. The worm actually gets into your eye, and it creeps across it. And it can be plucked out, but by a medical procedure. No, it's there. And the same thing is true with the worms that The Putsi fly, they're called Tumbu flies also, but Putsi was that was the local language. They actually did, the fly lays its eggs on a shirt that's on the line. And unless that shirt is ironed, but with a very hot iron, the eggs hatch. They hatch with the warmth of your skin when you're wearing the shirt. And the eggs immediately, this is, you know, survival instinct of the little worm. Putsi means worm in Chinyanja. The worm gets into your skin and it stays there, it hatches there. So they have to be gotten out of your skin.
Well, you write about this in your article, and to me it was an image out of a Clive Barker story. I mean, you had boils all over your body, you popped one of the boils and a little maggot crawled out. I mean, I'd be mortified.
Yeah, well, my short story "White Lies" has it in, you know, more detail. But it's a grotesque thing to have. It's fairly painful when they're removed. They're not the boils themselves are just, well, they're boils. But it is terrible. It is terrible. But when you think about it, it's very dramatic and weird and the stuff of fiction. It's almost worth going through just to have something to write about. But, I mean, the same is true of most travel writing. Misery makes for good travel.
If you're just joining us, my guest is travel writer and novelist Paul Theroux. He's joining us from his home in Cape Cod. And we're talking about the subject of an article in the current edition of the Condé Nast Traveler magazine. His article is called "Parasites I Have Known." We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Writer Paul Theroux is my guest, and he has written a recent article called "Parasites I Have Known" about illnesses that he's come down with while he was traveling, the kinds of things he leaves out of his travel books. You write that the worst fever you ever had was while you were in a leper colony. I don't know whether you were writing about it or working there, but what kind of fever did you have?
No one knew. That's another thing. The tropical world is full of nameless fevers. What happens is you simply run a high fever, a high temperature, and collapse, and then you sweat. And people try various things. They try aspirin, they try chloroquine, which is for malaria. They make you drink a lot of liquids, or if you're alone, you drink a lot of liquids. And then if you've got a good constitution, you might survive. But it could be anything. It could be malaria, it could be black water fever, it could be cholera, it could be so many things giving you a high fever that there's any number of reasons why you could have this high fever, and you may get rid of it, be cured of it in a week or so, and never know what you had. That's the strange thing. You might have been bitten, you might have drunk something or whatever. And I think the high fever, having a high fever in a hot country is also pretty terrible. Anyway, the prospect of getting an illness shouldn't stop anyone from going abroad. And it's even rather an interesting speculation if you go to a place and you say, well, there are these diseases there. How can I prevent myself from getting it?
What do you do when you're visiting a place that you haven't been to before to find out what the local diseases and parasites are and how you can protect yourself from it?
I try to talk to somebody who's been there. And if I can't find anyone who's been there, I read as much as possible. I'm a great reader of guidebooks, not travel books. Although I write them, I need hard information. For example, the scourge of the world today, I suppose AIDS is a scourge, but malaria is really one of the most serious ones, because malaria is very, very hard to prevent. And that's one, generally speaking, if you're going to New Guinea or Africa, parts of South America, lots of places, not only is there a lot of malaria in these places, but it's of a particularly virulent kind. Other things you can prevent, venereal disease, you can prevent by simply abstaining. AIDS, you abstain. Lots of other things you abstain. But the malaria, there's no amount of abstention can prevent it. So what would I do? I bought the best tent money can buy that has a mosquito net in it. When people in villages in New Guinea, and I was recently in Malawi, when people say, sleep in the hut, you know, come, enjoy our hospitality, I politely decline and say, I'll sit around and have a drink with you, but then I think I'll have my little tent. This is in a village. So carrying your little mosquito-proof tent with you is a very good way of doing it, and also staying in it after dark, getting up early and because mosquitoes tend to bite at night, in the early morning and in the evening, and not during the day.
What about insect repellents? Are they any good to ward off the mosquitoes that carry malaria?
They're all right, but in these places it's usually so hot you're perspiring and they wear off. They also smell like hell. I use them. I spray them. But you need insect repellent in Florida, the islands off the west coast of Florida. There are a lot of no-see-ums and insects and so forth. I was recently in a place where there were no mosquitoes, a tropical place, the Republic of Palau. I was on an island and there were no mosquitoes whatsoever. I woke up in the middle of the night, walked around. I was stark naked, and I walked from my tent down. There was a full moon glowing on the water. There was no wind and no mosquitoes. I've never been in a tropical place where there were no insects. There were no flies either.
Why not?
I don't know. I asked several people. They said, oh, yeah, well, no, there aren't a lot there. They said sometime on some of the islands there are, but I think because there's no standing water, mosquitoes breed in standing water. And if there isn't, fresh water where they can lay eggs, this place is so dry at that time of the year. And there's no people, only 15,000 people, and there's 340 islands. I will say, though, I don't mean to interrupt, but I was standing there marveling at my luck that there were no insects, and I heard kind of rustling, and I had a flashlight, and I shone it on the beach, and there were about 20 rats. so you can congratulate
yourself. Now, isn't that reassuring?
And rats aren't bad. They were rooting around because I had some food that I hadn't hung up high enough. Rat urine is a very bad thing. You can get leptospirosis from that.
What do you take with you in your medical kit when you travel?
I have a thermometer. I bring antibiotics. I bring antibiotic cream, bandages, things like needles, things for pulling out thorns, and in the Pacific, sea urchins are a problem. You might get very, very bad splinter from them, and they can get infected. Or just bumping coral. Let's say you're paddling, you're snorkeling and paddling through, and you bump your knee or your leg against some coral. That's the chances of that getting infected are about 99%.
What?
I think just because there's such a high bacterial content in the coral, in the water, and then in the place. It's bacterial infections kill people all over the Pacific and Africa and in the tropical world, let's say. So they're not, people die very young. I mean, in New Guinea, a person who's got to the age of 45 or 50 is a very, very old man or old woman. And their childbearing years are in their mid to late teens. So that life expectancy is very low because of bacterial infections and malaria, of course. Anyway, the coral bump is a very, very bad thing. And there's almost nothing you can do about it. You can put a lot of antibacterial ointment on it and bandage it and so forth. But the chances are that you'll have to see a doctor and get a get an injection of some kind.
Should this interview discourage people from going any place?
No. On the contrary, no one should not go to a place because they hear that they might catch something or that there's a prevalent disease. What they should do is read as much as they can about the place, consult a doctor, talk to people who've gone there, and then go. Illness, unless it's a bubonic plague, or the water is totally undrinkable, or there's some blight on the landscape. I can't think of there aren't many things that would prevent me from going. You have to be very, very careful, but the fear of catching an illness shouldn't keep anyone at home. I think it kept people home in the past. A long time ago, people thought that the night air was bad for you. They still think that in Ecuador. If you breathe the night air, it's kind of malaria, malaria, bad air. But that shouldn't be the case. It really shouldn't be the case. We're smarter, and abstention and prevention can keep you pretty healthy.
I really want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
It's my pleasure, Terry.
And enjoy the summer.
Okay, thank you very much.
Travel writer and novelist Paul Theroux spoke to us from his home on Cape Cod. His article, Parasites I Have Known, is in the July edition of the Condé Nast Traveler. This is Fresh Air.